Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I'm having a fantastic day. I hope you are too. We've got a great hour coming up. Bev Canaris is in studio, and I need to give you a heads up. This is going to be a very adult conversation, so you're going to want to guard the little ears. Maybe turn it off and catch the podcast, because we're going to be talking about some sexual abuse issues. So I'll just leave it at that, and just know that it's probably a better podcast if you've got little ones at home. And we're going to have a pretty interesting opportunity in terms of listeners can will be invited in the second part of the hour to call in if you want to share some experiences, especially if anyone feels like they're getting triggered by this discussion. Because if you've got something in your past that's been hidden or you've just had it buried away and something is brought to the surface today, know that we're here and we will pray with you, and we will, we're not professional counselors, but we are prayer people, and we know that that makes a difference. So that's all ahead in this hour. And you know, I love scripture, and I love whenever anybody calls the studio line, and some people have been very faithful doing that. I appreciate that. But if you want to be on the show reading a scripture verse, all you do is have to call 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484, and just say, hey, I want to read a verse for Bill's show. And then just say what the verse is and read it. And then we'll put it on the show. I want a million people to read scripture. Wouldn't that be fun? And then I had Lars Dunberg in studio today, and he is a charming man from Sweden. And he said that he would do John 3:16 for me in Swedish. So I can't wait to hear it. Let's hear it now.
Well, the verse I'm thinking about is probably the most well-known verse in English, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will not perish but have everlasting life. And this is how it goes in Swedish. You know, Jesus was Swedish. Have you never sang the song, Jesus is a Swedish name I know? So listen to it in the heavenly language. Ty så älskade Gud världen att han utgav sin enfödde son på det att var och en som tror på honom ska inte förgås utan ha evigt liv.
The happiest people, they're the ones with the vacation home on each continent.
No.
They're the ones in perfect health.
No.
They're the ones whose team wins the Super Bowl.
Well, maybe.
No, the happiest people are the most thankful people. Because when you focus on all that God has done for you, no matter what else is going on, it's really hard not to smile. So as you listen to Faith Radio, we hope you're inspired to live that kind of life every day. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio.
Is fear a sin? Author and speaker Trillia Newbell says, when we become consumed with worry that the God who feeds the birds of the air and clothes the lilies of the field won't provide for us, we live in fear instead of faith. This is sin. Instead, we can trust the scriptures that say God will provide for and take care of us if we commit our lives to him and follow him in thought, word, and deed. God is good. Find more encouragement from Trillia Newbell at myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back to the show. It's 8 minutes after the hour. I hope your day's been going well. If you're just climbing in the car, I'm glad you have tuned in to Faith Radio. And if you missed any of the first hour, you would love hearing what I did. I talked to Rob Bluey, my correspondent from Washington, D.C., and then I also had a really nice chat with Dr. Jeff Myers from the Summit Institute. And he's written a book called The Secret Battle of Ideas About God. And he's a smart, smart guy. Every time he's on the show, I take lots of notes. This hour is not for sensitive ears. Just to give you a nice big heads up, it's going to be an adult conversation. We're not using any scary words, but we're just talking about a very adult subject. We're going to be discussing abuse, sexual abuse, and healing. My in-studio guest is Bev Canaris. She's a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and she's been a teaching leader for Bible Study Fellowship for 30 years. She recently retired, but that's a lot of dedication. So she's a speaker, a teacher, and a mentor to many. And her purpose, her life purpose, has always been just to teach God's Word and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to raise up Christian leaders to serve the church. Those are some good marching orders. Welcome back to the show, Bev.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. So I know this is not an easy subject, and it's something I appreciate you willing to step into and share, because I know there's going to be a lot of listeners today that are going to probably feel a little bit of pain and a little bit of trigger and all that. So,
well, it's certainly in the news, isn't it?
It is. It's all over the news.
It's all over the news with Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh, the Me Too movement, Google employees walking out on the job last week. It's really a relevant topic. I think as the church, we need to speak about it. And I have personal experience with sexual abuse that I have never loved sharing, and I find it very difficult. But yet, love is sacrificial. So I really want to make this sacrifice today for the benefit of our listeners, that as they hear my story, that somehow it might be a part of their healing as well. And we talk so much about what's happening. We know it's wrong. People are made in God's image. This isn't right. We have laws in our land. It's not right, this kind of sexual abuse. God's word forbids this. Sex is only to be between a man and a woman in marriage. But yet we know all these things. But while we hear of these incidents more and more, what has happened to all those victims out there, Bill? We just hear the anger. We hear the stories.
But outrage.
Outrage. Mm-hmm. We never hear a good story of healing. What now? What does that man, that woman who's had this experience, this trauma? It's not an experience. It's a trauma. Where do they go from here? You seldom hear how they fare in life, and you rarely hear how God can make a difference if he is in their lives. One of the main topic of the Bible is redemption, and that God is our Redeemer. And he can bring out of your brokenness, out of my brokenness, he can bring wholeness again. He redeems the sin, whether we sinned or someone sinned against us. He's a redeemer of sin. I am going to share my personal journey today of abuse and healing. I recently heard this quote, and it really spurred me on. The private victories God gives should be announced publicly for the encouragement of God's people.
I love that. I'm going to say that again. The private victories God gives should be announced publicly for the encouragement of God's people. Isn't that a Warren Wiersbe line?
It is a Warren Wiersbe.
He's a smart guy.
Yep.
Yeah,
very
I like
smart
him.
Guy. And uh-huh. It's so true. And that was my nudge. And also, as I was praying, when you said, Bev, what's a hot topic for women? I right away I thought, you know, there's so many women like me, and men too.
One in three.
Yes.
Bev, one in three.
Yes.
And those are staggering numbers.
Quite a few men as well.
Mm-hmm. One in seven for men.
So with that kind of numbers, we really need to address it, like I said, in the church. And you said earlier, we're not counselors. I'm not a counselor. I'm just here to share my personal journey, and I want to inspire men and women to seek the much-needed healing and freedom that can come when it's only through Christ, only through Christ.
What if they're mad at God because of what they went through?
Well, that's a very much a reality here, mm-hmm. because you know God is all-powerful. He could have stopped this. It could have not happened, and I've wrestled with that question myself. But I do know that we live in a sinful world filled with sinners, and that sometimes that sin affects us when we're the most innocent of people. You think of wars. It's endless what mm-hmm. happens to innocent people along the way in this sinful world. So that is how I kind of resolve that. And yet I do, and I also say that God is sovereign. He knew this was going to happen, and he was going to use it for his own purposes, for my good and for the good of many others as well.
It's still hard to hear, though, Bev. It's just very difficult to hear.
Of my experience of being mad at God?
Not being mad at God, but the idea that God would, in fact, find goodness out of this difficult situation.
I hope so.
Well, I know.
Yes.
I know, but I mean, it's still hard for people who have suffered to if they've got unresolved anger about
right.
it, to try to find.
And, you know, that takes time, Bill.
I agree. Yeah, yeah.
We're talking way back in my personal history, and I'm going to get into that in a minute here. But, it takes time to heal. It takes time to resolve those big questions in your mind. But as you seek God, remember, He's got the healing and the answers. As you seek Him through His Word, through prayer, you will come across some of those big questions answered and get a sense of peace through it.
All right. Now, I'm thinking, Bev, before you start telling your personal story and journey, I would like to do that without having a lot of interruptions. So maybe I would be best now to take a very short break, and then when we come back, we'll have a nice little chunk of time. Bev Canaris is in studio with me, and this is a subject that's going to be adult conversations. Just let you know, get the small ears, keep them quiet, get them out of the room, okay? Or just listen to the program later. That works. Be back in just a minute. It is 16 minutes after the hour. I have Bev Canaris in my studio. She's was a teaching leader for BSF for 30 years, and now she's in sharing her personal journey of abuse and healing. So this is an adult conversation, so just to let you know. I always just like to remind our listeners that it's probably it's not going to be for the smaller ears. So, Bev, let's now, if you wouldn't mind, start into your story.
Well, for many of us, sexual abuse began in childhood. And as a child, I had no way to cope with this, and neither did my parents, actually. I was in late grade school, early middle school, between the ages of 10 and 12, when one of my brothers repeatedly molested me in the middle of the night. I was frozen with fear, but finally, after this repeated nightmare, I went down to my parents in the middle of the night to tell them what was going on. My dad rushed upstairs, threatened him, and it was never spoken of again. It did stop, but I didn't know it stopped. I lived with fear for years at night, and so it was not only the trauma of the abuse, but it was living in fear for so long, which was very difficult. When I married my husband at age 20, I told him my story. I wanted him to know it, and I made a firm commitment to Jesus Christ around the same time. I thought all of that was behind me. I said a quick prayer to God, expressing my forgiveness towards my brother, but yet I had a very strained relationship with my parents and with my brother, but I always wanted to avoid it. What I really needed here was freedom from the effects of that sin. You know, Christ not only forgives our sin, but He also can help walk us through and heal us where we have been sinned against. So when He talks about, if you know the truth will set you free, that's what He's setting us free from. He's setting us free from the slavery to sin of ourselves, and also those repercussions of living in a sinful world with sinful people. Only Christ can really heal what sin has done. And so as I sought Him, I did find indeed some healing. However, it took a long time. As I said before, this isn't an instant process that we just are one day we feel all better about it. We had three wonderful children, a healthy marriage. I really began to grow in my faith in my late 20s and then began teaching God's Word at 34 in Bible Study Fellowship. But then at the age of 40, that's a new age, at age 40, suddenly I was hit with a major depression. It was like my abuse happened that week. I couldn't function except for barely getting into to teach Bible study. I was just doing the bare bones of being a wife and a mother. I spent most of my days in bed. It was when I was flat on my back that God tenderly showed me many things.
Mm. So this depression that you felt hit you at 40, do you feel this was this incident coming back to get you again?
I felt it was time for healing.
Time for healing, okay.
Yes. I think God had to put me on my back
yeah.
and in a depression in order to get my attention.
Okay. Because they always say you deal with issues or they deal with you, one or the
right.
other.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So And here's what God really was so tender with me, so loving as I went through these months of depression. First thing he showed me was that I had really a lot of anger that I had never expressed. When you have this kind of a trauma, you have incredible anger. I remember telling my husband, oh, I want to just go up to the kitchen, get a stack of plates, and hear him smash. So angry. And I knew, too, second thing God showed me was that I needed to talk about it. I needed to talk to my husband about it. I needed to read books about it. I needed to go to counseling. Third thing God showed me was that I had unforgiveness, and it was a huge cesspool of unforgiveness. It was shocking to me. Here I'm a Christian woman. I'm 40. I've got three children. I teach the Bible. Mm-hmm. And here I am facing such terrible, ugly unforgiveness in my life. The Lord wanted to heal me and set me free. That was the fourth thing he wanted me to know. He wanted this healing. He helped me to see what it had done, and then he helped me to deal with where do I go from here. He also assured me of his unconditional love. I remember being like flat on my back thinking, I really can't do anything for God here. And yet he loves me. And I realized that what happened was I had an injured view of myself and of God as a result of the abuse. I was really trying to earn his love through all my good works. And I realized then when I was depressed at my lowest point, God loves me, I'm his treasure, and that I can't think of myself in light of what happened to me. Going on, I had to confront my brother, who also went to counseling, although he never admitted it, I think because of the legal ramifications. I confronted my parents, who didn't want to talk about it again. I discovered more angry with my parents for not protecting me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, though, it was time I had to forgive. I had to truly forgive my brother and my parents. I just thought, how can I do this? How can I love my parents ever again? But I knew the Lord wanted me to heal and of what had been there all along, and I didn't know it. He knew it was there, and he needed to bring it out, and he was so gracious to do this for me. Now he showed me I was ready, and I had his strength to help me to forgive, knowing his forgiveness on my many sins. I had to have a sense of my sins, that I'm a sinner in need of Christ. And that is the first part of being able to forgive others. I would forgive them. I was going to determine to forgive them. Someone has said bitterness or unforgiveness is the poison you make for your enemy but drink yourself. And I realized that really hurting me a great deal to have all this unforgiveness in my life. There were a lot of really, really, really hard days in those months of depression. After about 4 months, I did feel it start to lift. Life started to change for me. I had a new power for living. I no longer was carrying around that heavy load of anger and forgiveness. Do you know, Bill, the beauty of the earth was stunning to me? I started bird watching and gardening after this. It was like all the ugly stuff had been lifted, and I could see the world for what it really was. I was free for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
My personal feelings of being what I could call myself, damaged goods, changed to being God's treasure. Mm-hmm. And that was life transforming for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, though, to know how to forgive. I think that that's one of the hardest things in life, and especially when you've been innocent and a victim of something that has been so traumatic in your life.
I get that. I want to actually go back and talk about some of these things that God showed you, because when you say that you had a deep anger that had never been expressed, you'd been carrying that around for decades?
Decades.
Wow.
Decades. I kind of glossed over it as it was glossed over for me.
Yeah. Do you know if it came out sideways? If you found yourself doing or saying things that you go, where is this coming from? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're not identifying it, and you're not talking about it, I still think it's in there, and it's got to come out some way, so it comes out sideways.
It does come out sideways. I call these really tentacles. These are the negative behaviors that can come out of a trauma like sexual abuse, but it can come out from other traumas as well. Alcohol use, drugs, promiscuity, sexual issues, unforgiveness, broken relationships, fears, depression, anxiety. I certainly saw my view of myself was hurt a great deal in this, and that was causing me to make poor decisions. You begin to operate your life really out of that brokenness and pain. We have to know who we are in the Lord, mm-hmm. and not our identity is not in what was done to you.
Right. You're not
we almost try to self-destruct because we have so much shame and guilt, and that is a very hard thing to carry around for a long time. But you can be set free from that anger, shame, guilt, unforgiveness, the emotional turmoil, and the negative behavior as a result, but only through Christ. Only He can deal with forgiveness of sins and helping us to forgive sin, and also for those the ramifications of sin against us to be healed.
You can't fight worldly problems with worldly weapons. You have to fight worldly problems with heavenly weapons.
Yeah, that's a good quote, Bill.
Yeah, thank you. All right, I want to open the phone lines to any person who might be hearing this and might be in need of help with forgiveness, or they want to share something to Bev that Bev can give you a little bit of prayer on, or whatever you like. We'd like to invite you into this because this hour is for you, and the number is 877-933-2484. You might want to send a text message, if you like, to the same number, 877-933-2484. Or if you want to, you can send me an email, bill@myfaithradio.com. And if you would prefer not to come on the air, I can ask your question for you. So that would be something we can do, 877-933-2484. If you have anything in your past that has just been brought to the surface and you have a question on forgiveness, I think that's where I want to spend the next rest of our time, Bev, if you don't mind. I do want to talk about more on forgiveness because that seems to be the critical piece, and the phones are lighting up like crazy. So what I'll do is I will take a short break, and then when we come back, we can take some calls because they're lighting up already. Again, phone number or text message is 877-933-2484. Or bill@myfaithradio.com. Be back more with Bev Canaris in studio in just a minute. To the show. It's 31 minutes after the hour. I have Bev Canaris in studio. We are chatting about her story and journey of sexual abuse. So just a reminder, this is not for the younger ears. Just want to give you that heads up. You can catch it on the podcast at myfaithradio.com. I've gotten a number of emails and text messages and callers so far. I just want to read a couple of quick ones. On the text message, I have also dealt with this issue and have found that I have received peace. For the most part, when I chose to forgive in my small human way and then asked the Holy Spirit to do the rest. Another caller said, I was molested by my uncle beginning at the age of 9. I grew up in Liberia, West Africa, and this is something that was not talked about. The Lord has been dealing with me, and then all I am making progress towards getting this on paper and standing before many to share my story of Jesus' love, healing, and the process of forgiveness. So, and now this person is also working with hurting women and helping them with their story of hope and healing. God is good. So we've got a number of callers as well on the line. I've got a caller would like to remain anonymous. I appreciate that. And welcome to the show. You have a comment or a question?
Hi. I know this is really hard for many women, but I, mine too, surface. I dealt with depression most of my life, but my older brother sexually abused me for many years, and my parents wouldn't believe me. I was, it was always my fault, and I don't associate with my parents anymore. And either my brother and I've gone to counselors, I've had ECTs, I deal with panic attacks and anxiety, and I pray, and I ask Jesus to forgive me, and I just, you know, I...
To forgive you? What was your first name? You didn't give your
name. Yeah.
You're anonymous. Why do you want God, Christ, to forgive you?
Because if, you know, I hadn't been there at the time, he wouldn't have done it, you know?
Well, first of all, that's kind of wrong thinking. I think you have to put the blame clearly where it belongs, upon the predator, not upon the victim. And it was a mistake that your parents didn't believe you. That isn't the number one rule with sexual abuse, is that you have to believe the person. To bring it forward is so difficult for them. Believe me, it's true. So there's a few things in your story here that I my heart just bleeds for you, in that there's some wrong thinking about how you're looking at it. And I would really love to see you go to a pastor or pursue a little bit of Christian counseling that could maybe help release you from this. It sounds like the tentacles of this abuse has gotten deep into your life. And Christ can set you free, but it does require hard work on your part as well.
And I have gone to a Christian counselor, our pastor, you know, like I said, that I had, you know, I had ECTs for 6 months, twice a week. You know, my son-in-law is a pastor, and I just, you know, I want to think that I forgive them, but I don't know that I really do.
Yeah. Well, that process of forgiveness is a crucial part of your healing. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:14, where he said, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. What Jesus is really saying there, he's saying, you need to be so aware of how much I have forgiven you that you would absolutely forgive others, because in comparison to all of our sins that we've done against Christ, and then when someone sins against us, we have an obligation to give them the same mercy, the same grace for which we were given from the Heavenly Father. I know what we really sometimes want in a situation like this is justice, and justice is very appropriate, and we have laws that can carry out that justice, but do you know what? We need a whole lot more than justice. We need to be made whole again, and that's what I would really like to pray for you for right now, if I could. There's going to be a day when there will be justice before the Lord, as this predator faces the Lord with this, if it's unrepentant. But let me pray for you right now so that God can show you that next step in healing and forgiveness, and we are going to go on and talk about some different steps and different things we can do to help us in our forgiveness. So let me pray for you now. Heavenly Father, I do pray for this dear woman on the other end of the line, that your Holy Spirit would come to her now, and you would give to her the resources, the people, the means, the scripture passages, all working together here, Lord. Those valued counselors, Lord, all of them working together for her healing, Lord. Set her free. Show her and teach her the path of forgiveness. In your name we've prayed. Amen. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your call. We have another caller on the line who also would like to remain anonymous. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question or comment? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. You have a question or comment?
Oh, yes. So I was abused also as a teenager. And now I've been married over 30 years. And I find that I really struggle in the intimacy part of my marriage. And my husband is very unsympathetic to it. We struggle with communications. And so a lot of times I don't feel emotionally connected, or but yet he expects that I should still be sexually active and fulfilling. And I don't really know how to deal with it ongoing.
Have you shared your heart with him?
Yes, and he shamed me.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. These are such deep, hurtful issues. Well, we do know when we marry that we do not deny our other partner of sexual intimacy. So that is, God does ask us of that. And it's true, it may not always be your first desire, but it is something that is part and a beautiful part of our marriage. But you are talking now again about one of the tentacles, and that's one of the tentacles is how it can interrupt or misconstrue a sexual life that God intended for us. So I do think I would recommend again that you would seek the Lord for this healing, that you could speak with someone about this, a trusted counselor who could give you some godly advice and pray with you, and that the Lord would be able to strengthen you and heal this part of your marriage. Don't let this, what happened to you as a teenager, rob you of a great joy of intimacy. Get a little bit determined and a little bit angry about it and say, I'm not going to allow this to steal this from my marriage, and get the help and whatever you need to heal that. That would be something that I would just want to make you aware of, that this can be healed, that God can heal this too. There's nothing beyond him. Nothing. Nothing. Even though it's been a long time, this might be the time right now, this call, the beginning of your healing. Let me pray for you as well. Heavenly Father, I do lift up this woman who has just had one of the results of her abuse affect her marriage in the most intimate of ways. I pray, Father, that you would release her from this, that you could heal her in this, that she would be determined that she will not let this person who took something so special from her get in the way of the intimacy of their marriage, Lord. Heal her and bring her everything that she's going to need for that healing. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear person. Thank you for calling, and God bless you tonight as you go about your evening. Boy, that's very difficult stories.
Hard things.
They just rip my heart out.
And it's so common, Bill, and people are walking around wounded from this, and no one's talking about it. And that was another thing that just forced me to come forward with my story. We've got to start talking about this, and not in a way that is going to make people go, oh, no, I don't talk about that again. But people need to speak about it if they're going to be healed, and they need to be seeking the Lord if they're going to be healed. Only he can deal with the repercussions of sin and in our own life and what has been sinned against us. That's my message today.
It's such a heavy topic for sure, and you're doing such a loving job with the caller, so I appreciate that. When you think about the statistics, once again, one in three women will experience some kind of abuse, and one in seven men will. So it's a pretty prevalent topic. And for the most part, Bev, I would think that we would both agree it's something that was never discussed.
It wasn't.
And
it
now,
wasn't.
You know, for whatever reason, the Me Too movement or anything else that's come to light in our culture in the last year has certainly given us more reason to and abuse in the churches and all that. So, yeah, it's now the time is to talk about it if you've never done it and start dealing with the healing part of this.
And that's where we really need to talk a little bit more about forgiveness, Bill. First thing is to remember what God has forgiven you, always in forgiveness.
Always put it in context, right?
But that's the context we have to look at it at. Yeah. Look at how many times you have sinned in your life. And then remember that. And remember that because you have been given such a great gift, so much mercy, so much grace, you are then to extend it to others. Whatever God gives us is always not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Secondly, then you're to forgive with your mind. You're to make up your mind, I am going to forgive. It's an act of your will. It's a choice. Whether that person is living or not living, this can be done. It's between you and God, not the person who hurt you. Now, that's a big point. Now, the third step then would be to forgive with your heart. That is God's part. Give God the pain. Tell him all about it, everything, all the consequences of that suffering that you've gone through. And then give that person who caused that pain into God's hands. He's the one who can handle him or her, not you. Give the pain to God. Release the one who hurt you. And then this is a real hard part, but it's a step that shows you're on the way to healing. Pray for their welfare. I remember praying for my brother thinking, oh, do I really have to do this? But it did start to change my heart. And with my parents, I had so much anger towards them. I said to the Lord, Lord, you're going to have to love them through me because I ain't got none, none. Yeah. So, and you know what? In both instances, through prayer, God really changed my heart towards both of them.
Yeah. Doesn't action come before feeling? Because if you say, I will forgive someone when I feel like forgiving them, I can almost guarantee you'll never do it because you're never going to feel like doing it.
No.
If you take action and forgive, then all of a sudden you feel like you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. You need to state it out loud.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we have time for a few more calls. If you like, you can call or text at 877-933-2484. Thanks to all the brave people who have called and sent in messages. I know this is a difficult subject. We'll take a very short break and then be back in studio with Bev Canaris in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. It's 14 minutes until the top of the hour. I've got Bev Canaris in my studio. We are chatting about her experience with sexual abuse when she was younger and how it sort of caught up with her when she was 40 and she walked into a wall of depression and could hardly get out of bed and was dealing with extreme anger and frustration. And it was only Jesus Christ that could step in and start to heal the wounds and help her see a much different perspective on this. I would imagine it's an injury that lives forever, Bev, but you have managed your pain through Christ, haven't you?
I have. And believe it or not, I have actually seen good things come out of it, Bill.
Okay.
Good things.
All right.
And, yeah, go ahead.
We've got another caller on the line. Karen is calling in. Karen, welcome to the show. You have a question or comment?
I do. I just want to excuse me for having such a hoarse voice
today. No problem.
I hope that it's coming across clear. I just want to encourage everyone, all the victims, myself being one, and like I was telling your receptionist, we're to comfort other people with the comfort we've been comforted with by God. And the more we read what he has to say in his word and tells us, the stronger our inner man becomes, even though we feel weak on the outside. Now, in Isaiah, it says, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me because he's trusting in me. Now, when I was battling with these things that, like you said, flashbacks come up and whatever,
mm-hmm.
some of the things that were really, really defeating Satan where God said when he forgives us and all we need to do is confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and then he cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
1 John 1:9.
He does it. So we don't have that struggle, but 1 John 1 is where it says he's so loving and so willing to forgive. And when he does, he says in the Bible that though our sins are scarlet, he's going to make them whiter than snow. And as far as the east is from the west, and they will never meet because they go straight out,
mm-hmm.
that's how far he will remove yeah. those sins. And he will, another place it says how he will take those sins and throw them in the deepest sea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the barometric pressure down in the under the sea is so great, man can't measure it. It's so deep and heavy, it crushes the instruments. Therefore, when our sins are cast down into the sea, they are dissolved, they are crushed, they are no more. And then, like Corrie Ten Boom from The Hiding Place said, then he puts up a
no
sign
fishing. Yeah.
No fishing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, all right. Now,
was this
I said
forgiveness?
That,
yes. Was this forgiveness process that you've just gone through? Was this for yourself? Were you feeling guilt?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You can't help but feel guilt. You know, you think you could have done something or whatever. But
there is such a thing as false guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Yes. Go ahead.
When I was driving up Freeway 94, all alone in my car, I could hear a voice, not like I hear yours, but in my head. And when it's talking negative, I know who that is. Oh, just remember that. Oh, don't you feel bad about that? Oh, you know, you hurt God so much. And then my spirit remembered the word of God, and I spoke out loud, oh, no, God doesn't remember that. I'm not going to remember it either. And I snapped on KTS radio, there was a song on there, started singing with it, and the whole instance was gone.
Yeah, I think worship is a wonderful way to defeat those mm-hmm. kind of thoughts of guilt or shame that you might be feeling as a result of that, and to keep your mind steadfast on what's true. Who is God? Who am I to God? What has God done for me? How has God showed his love for me? I really think that you're really giving some practical tools here on how to deal with those kinds of thoughts and thinking.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, Karen, thank you so much for your contribution. It's just great to have you on the show. Bevan, I know we've got kind of limited time left. I want to see if we can't end on a happier note, if we can.
Well, my story is not over. There actually was. The last step in forgiveness is reconciliation, which is not always possible, nor should it always be possible. There may be very good reasons why you cannot reconcile with a particular individual. But I have reconciled. I have forgiven my parents, and I have forgiven my brother, and I've been reconciled to both of them. And I was thankful I was able to do that before my parents have now both passed. But my brother is alive and well. My brother and I have a very warm relationship at this point. He has come to know the Lord, and he's a Christian brother as
wow.
well. And we see each other yearly and actually enjoy each other's company.
Oh, nice.
I look back with a lot of compassion on him as well. He needed help as well as I did. He was a young person, and he wasn't given that help. And then he did seek help, and he's really had a life change. So that really has a happy ending there with those relationships. But I realize that many times it can't be that kind of a reconciliation in these situations. This is always going to be part of my story, Bill. Even when I think about it, my heart beats faster. In fact, I've been checking my heart rate on my Apple Watch here and been seeing that it's above normal for sure. But it has had a lot of positive effects as well. I feel I'm a more resilient person. I definitely have more compassion for others. And I also have a constant, deep need and love for the Lord. And if it took suffering to bring me closer to him, it's okay. I'm willing to suffer to know more of him and to experience more of him. I was really like the woman who bled for 12 years that Jesus touched, or the man at the pool, 38 years, and he touched him and he was healed. The healing and the freedom always comes from the touch and the power of Jesus Christ. He set me free, not only from the power of sin over me, which I personally need, but he also set me free from that power of sin done against me. And this is like the third or fourth time I've said this. This is important to me to get that across, that we can be free from the power of the sin done against us. We do not have to have that continue to destroy us in our life.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has given me now instead the oil of joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair.
I love it. I think we've got time for another caller. I've got an anonymous person on the line would like to question or comment. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
I so respect and appreciate that you're bringing this topic out. I had just finished working through a study with a group of women by a book that Diane Langberg wrote called Suffering in the Heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
She's anyway. But one point that she made that really stood out to me is that oftentimes the church is very quick to tell victims, you need to forgive. And there's absolutely truth in that, that there's only freedom and healing that comes through forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But the problem is that for a victim, the only way for them to go deep and allow God to do that surgery in their heart is if they talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think oftentimes the church is not safe to talk to. We're so quick to just give them a pat answer or throw a book at them and say, you know, here, go get help over there or whatever, when actually I think the church has called us as fellow sojourners to come alongside one another, bearing one another's burdens, and listen until it's all out there. It's so much to me, it's the way David approached God in the Psalms. He always, he cried out, he vented, he was completely transparent with what was bothering him. And I think until victims feel safe to share their story, it's only then that they can begin to lay it at the foot of the cross and begin to experience the freedom and the healing.
I totally agree. I think something that you keep hidden only grows more tentacles and gets into other areas of our life. We don't want it. And that's why we have to expose it. Expose it to the truth. Expose it to Jesus Christ and ask for his healing. Expose it to other people. If you have to feel the anger, feel the anger. If you have to feel that you don't forgive or you don't love, say it. But then after that's out, after you vomit it out, then you can start to heal. I totally agree with you. And very often in the church, we want to be the beautiful Christian man or woman. We don't want to have this scorn on us that we're an abuse victim. I don't, and I know no one else does either, but so be it. It is. It's a sinful world, and I just was one of its victims of the sin. But that's not going to stop me from living the abundant life that Christ has given me.
I so appreciate your call, and thank you so much for what you shared. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
And have a nice evening. Bev, I have to say this has been a fascinating hour in as much as I think it opened up to a lot of listeners, once again, the idea that maybe they have things that they have to deal with. And your story has been very helpful in getting that back front and center.
That was my desire.
Yeah, and I think it worked. Plus,
praise
you brought
God.
Me pumpkin bread, which I'm very happy about. And as you look at the corner, you can see either a rat or me have chewed at the end of it, so, yeah.
It even makes the whole studio smell pretty good,
doesn't
it?
It does. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. That is all the time we have left. So thank you to Bev Canaris for being here with me today in studio. And thank you for being such a great, faithful listener of Faith Radio. And thank you for listening to my show. I appreciate it so much. Have a great evening, everyone. God bless. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.